Amén, hermano, muchas gracias.
Amen, brothers, very good. Much thanks.
Buenos días. Es un privilegio estar esta mañana en la presencia de Dios delante de ustedes, hermanos y hermanas.
It is a privilege to be together this morning in front of God, in front of you all, brothers and sisters.
Es interesante que, aunque somos de diferentes países, de diferentes culturas, tenemos algo en común, y es la fe en Cristo Jesús.
It's interesting that even though we're from different cultures, different countries, different places, we have something in common, and that is this faith in Jesus Christ.
Así que agradezco la invitación para estar y compartir con ustedes esta mañana.
Therefore, I thank you for the invitation to speak with you all this morning.
Y como ya nuestro hermano David leyó el texto que vamos a reflexionar, no voy a repetirlo en este momento, sino señalar algunos textos en el desarrollo del sermón.
And since our brother David has read the text this morning, I'm not going to repeat it this morning, but I am going to indicate a few things, a few special items from this text as we go through this sermon this morning.
Así que escogí el tema para, bueno, disculpen, no me presento porque ya lo hicieron, ya me presentaron. Muchas gracias por esta presentación.
So I chose a theme. Well, excuse me, I didn't really introduce myself because you all have already introduced me. So thank you for that this morning.
Así que el tema que vamos a reflexionar es perder y salvar.
So the theme that we're going to be reflecting on this morning is to lose and to save.
El texto que hemos leído ya es Juan 12, 20 al 33.
And the text that we've already read this morning, this John chapter 12, 20 through 33.
Y me parece interesante que el versículo 25 nos habla precisamente de eso.
And it seems interesting to me that verse 25 speaks specifically about this theme.
El que ama su vida, la perderá. Y el que odia su vida en este mundo, para vida eterna la guardará.
The one who loves their life will lose it, while the one who hates their life in this world will keep it eternally.
Ya Jesús en otro texto también dice, el que quiera salvar su vida la perderá, pero el que la pierda por causa de mí, este la hallará.
Jesus has said in other texts, in other places, that the one who wants to save their life will lose it, but the one who loses their life for me will gain eternal life.
Así que perder y salvar son dos términos y acciones opuestas.
Therefore, losing and saving are these two terms that are opposite actions.
Y evidentemente traen también consecuencias opuestas.
And evidently they bring opposite consequences.
Perder significa quedarse sin algo que tiene mucho valor, que apreciamos mucho.
Losing means to wind up without something, something that has a lot of value, something that we really appreciate.
Y eso produce dolor, produce tristeza.
And this produces pain, this produces sadness.
Por ejemplo, perder la casa de habitación. Perder dinero, un negocio, perder un empleo, que significa perder el ingreso para el sustento de la familia.
For example, to lose the house where one is living, to lose your income, to lose money, to lose a job, which would mean losing the income that you would use to sustain your life and your family.
Perder a un ser querido, que ha sido tan difícil en este tiempo de pandemia que hemos vivido.
To lose a loved one, which has been so difficult for so many people in this time and this pandemic that we're living in.
Pero cuando hablamos de perder un ser querido, es interesante que para los cristianos, perder a un ser querido realmente no es perder, sino ganarlo para Cristo.
But it's interesting to see that for a Christian, this idea of losing a loved one isn't such a loss. It's actually winning or earning a loved one, one more soul for Christ.
Así que ahí se cumple la palabra que Jesús nos está diciendo en este texto.
So in that way, this word that Jesus is promising us in this text is completed.
Por el contrario, salvar significa encontrar algo también de mucho valor en nuestras vidas.
On the other hand, to save has this idea of to find something, to acquire something that has a lot of value for our lives.
Salvar significa encontrar, rescatar, redimir.
So to save means to find, to rescue, to redeem.
Y eso, por supuesto, produce también gozo, produce alegría, emoción, satisfacción.
And this produces a lot of joy, a lot of pleasure, a lot of satisfaction in us.
Como el caso que encontramos en la parábola de la oveja perdida que Jesús cuenta.
Like the case that we see in the parable of the lost sheep that Jesus tells.
De aquel hombre que perdió una de sus ovejas y dejó las 99 y fue en busca de ella.
That man that lost one of his sheep and leaves the other 99 there to go look for this one sheep that is lost.
Y cuando la encontró, regresó gozoso e hizo fiesta con sus amigos.
And when he found it, he brought it back and he was happy, he was joyful, he had a party with his friends.
De la misma manera, considero que hay gozo en nuestros corazones cuando encontramos algo de mucho valor.
And in the same way, I think there is joy in our hearts when we find something that is very valuable to us.
Bueno, miremos entonces el contexto en que está inmerso este trozo de la escritura que estamos reflexionando hoy.
So let's look at then this text that is around this this piece of the scripture that we're studying this morning.
En general, estamos en el contexto de la Pascua judía.
Generally, we're looking at the time of the Jewish Passover.
Fiesta que se celebraba en conmemoración de la salida de Egipto.
This feast that was celebrating, being a commemoration of the exit from Egypt.
Y había sido ordenada en Éxodo 12:25-27.
And it had been ordered in Exodus chapter 12, verses 25 through 27.
Cuando ustedes hayan entrado ya en la tierra que el Señor les va a dar, tal como lo ha prometido, deberán seguir celebrando esta ceremonia. Y cuando sus hijos les pregunten, ¿qué significa esta ceremonia? Ustedes deberán responder, este animal se sacrifica en la Pascua en honor del Señor cuando Él hirió de muerte a los egipcios, pasó de largo por la casa de los israelitas que vivían en Egipto, y así salvó a nuestras familias.
When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped.
Así que se celebraba la Pascua, la fiesta de los judíos.
So they celebrated the Passover, this festival of the Jews.
Y el versículo 20 dice claramente que había ciertos griegos entre los que habían subido a adorar la fiesta.
And in verse 20 in chapter 12 of John, it says there were certain Greeks who had gone up to celebrate the feast with them.
Estos griegos, según algunos comentaristas, podrían ser de Grecia o de Decápolis, un conjunto de 10 ciudades gentiles cerca de Galilea. Con grandes, gran población griega.
And so these Greeks, according to certain commentaries, could have been either from Greece or from the Decapolis, these 10 cities with great populations that were around these Gentile cities there.
Este conjunto de ciudades fue el centro de la cultura greco-romana.
And so this conglomeration of these Greek cities, the Decapolis, was the center of the Greco-Roman Empire.
Así que en este ambiente de Pascua es probable que estos griegos fueran judíos, prosélitos, conversos a la fe judía y circuncidados.
And so it's very possible that these Greeks in this time of the Passover festival, these were converts to Judaism. These were Greeks who had adopted Judaism as their religion.
Y por eso se les permitía participar y celebrar en la fiesta, según lo que nos dice Éxodo 12:48.
And that's why they were allowed to participate in the festival the same way that it tells us in Exodus chapter 12.
Si algún extranjero habita contigo y quiere celebrar la Pascua para Jehová, que le sea circuncidado todo varón, y entonces se celebrará, pues será como uno de vuestra nación, para ningún incircunciso comerá de ella.
It says in Exodus, if there is a foreigner among you who wants to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, then invite them, allow them to celebrate with you, that no one would be excluded from the Passover festival.
Así que esa es una posibilidad por la que aparecen estos griegos en esta fiesta.
Therefore, that is a possibility as to why these Greeks appear in this festival.
Otra posibilidad es que fueran griegos temerosos de Dios. Gentiles circuncidados que adoraban al Dios de Israel.
Another possibility is that they were Greeks who were God-fearing Greeks, people who worshipped and feared the God of Israel.
Algunos también les consideran como anticipando la llegada de gentiles a la comunidad cristiana, que va a pasar especialmente en el ministerio del apóstol Pablo.
And there's the other possibility that this is merely the anticipation of the arrival of Greeks into the Jewish or into the Christian community that we are going to be seeing later with the ministry of Paul.
Pero cualquiera sea la situación de estos griegos, hay una cosa importante.
But whatever it is that is the origin of these Greeks, there is a very important thing in common to all of them.
La intención y el deseo de estos griegos era ver a Jesús.
The intention and the desire of these Greeks was to see Jesus.
En contraste con muchas personas en la época que no querían saber nada de Jesús, que no creían, estos querían verle. Y mucha gente estaba interesada en ver, en conocer a Jesús.
In contrast with a lot of people during this time, a lot of people who didn't want to see Jesus, didn't want to come into contact with Jesus, didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, these Greeks wanted to see him, wanted to know him, wanted to come into contact with him.
Y nosotros sabemos cuán importante y maravilloso es encontrarnos y ver a Jesús.
And we know how important and how marvelous it is to come into contact with, to meet, to know Jesus.
Así que Felipe se lo dice a Andrés, a su hermano, y luego ambos van y se lo hacen saber a Jesús, al maestro.
So Philip tells this to Andrew and his brother, and then Andrew and Philip together go and they tell it to Jesus.
Jesús responde, ha llegado mi hora.
And Jesus replies, the hour has come for me.
Es interesante que en este evangelio de Juan, en tres ocasiones anteriores, se menciona que aún no había llegado la hora de Jesús.
It's interesting that in the Gospel of John, there are three separate occasions before this where it is mentioned Jesus's hour had not come yet.
En Caná de Galilea, por ejemplo, Jesús mismo le dice a su madre, aún no ha llegado mi hora.
In Canaan, in Galilee, Jesus tells his own mother, my hour has not yet come.
En Jerusalén, dice el texto que procuraban prenderle, mas ninguno puso en él mano porque aún no había llegado su hora, en Juan 7:30.
In Jerusalem, a crowd rises up against Jesus, but it says no one was able to lay their hand on him because his hour had not yet come.
En el templo, nadie le prendió porque aún no había llegado su hora, en 8:20.
And in chapter 8, verse 20, in the cleansing of the temple, no one rose up against Jesus because, again, his hour had not come.
Pero ahora Jesús declara, ha llegado mi hora.
But now Jesus says, my hour has arrived.
La hora de ser sacrificado, de morir, para ser glorificado también.
The hour to be sacrificed, the hour to die, but the hour to be glorified as well.
Es también interesante y contradictorio. Como cuando Jesús entra a Jerusalén, la gente gritaba, Hosanna, bendito el que viene en el nombre del Señor, el Rey de Israel.
It's also interesting and contradictory that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowd was crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed the King of Israel.
Pero poco después, estas mismas personas también gritarían, crucifícale, crucifícale.
But just a few days later, these same people would be shouting, crucify him, crucify him.
Cuando Pilato les pregunta, ¿qué haré con Jesús llamado el Cristo? Ellos dicen, crucifícale.
When Pilate asks, "What then should I do with Jesus?" they respond, "Crucify him."
La semilla de morir para volver a rendir fruto, dice Jesús en el versículo 24.
The seed has to die so that it can then grow and produce fruit, says Jesus in verse 24.
Por lo tanto, la muerte de Jesús, perder su vida en este mundo, significa la vida eterna.
Therefore, for those who love Jesus, losing their life in this world means to gain eternal life.
Significa encontrar, salvar la vida del mundo que en él cree.
It means to find and to save the life of this world.
Por eso él dice, el que ama su vida la perderá.
And that's why he says... Sigue.
Y el que aborrece su vida en este mundo, para vida eterna la guardará.
And that's why he says, those who love their life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it forever.
Es por eso entonces que escogí este tema que les menciono, perder y salvar.
And that's why I chose this theme that I mentioned for you all, this theme of losing and saving.
Porque odiar, que es la palabra que usa Jesús en esta Reina Valera,
To hate this life, to hate, to despise this life, which is the word that is used in this translation of the Bible.
Significa negarse a sí mismo, negarse a uno mismo.
It means to deny oneself, to deny oneself everything.
Como Jesús también lo dice cuando invita a sus discípulos a seguirle. Si alguno quiere venir en pos de mí, niéguese a sí mismo, tome su cruz y sígame.
The same as when Jesus was inviting his disciples to follow him, when he said, if one wants to follow me, they must deny their own life, leave everything behind, pick up their cross and follow me.
Y es interesante que la vida cristiana es de seguimiento a Jesús.
And it's really interesting that the Christian life is this concept of to follow Jesus.
Porque cuando le seguimos, aprendemos de él, le conocemos y entendemos sus enseñanzas.
Because when we follow him, we learn from him. We meet him, we get to know him, and we begin to learn from his teachings.
Ya bien lo dijo también el reformador anabautista en el siglo XVI, Hans Denn.
And as this one reformer said in the 16th century,
nadie puede conocer verdaderamente a Cristo a menos que le siga en la vida.
No one can truly know Christ unless they follow him in life.
La vida cristiana es de seguimiento, es de entrega, es de compromiso, y eso es discipulado.
The Christian life is to follow Jesus. It is to deny oneself, and it is to take up this discipleship.
Así que perder y salvar tiene que ver entonces con los valores de este mundo en contraposición a los valores del reino de Dios.
Therefore, losing and saving has to do with the values of this world in opposition to the values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Por eso en la historia, en Lucas 12, lo que se titula como el rico insensato.
And so that's why in the story of Lucas, Luke chapter 12.
Aquel hombre que amó la vida en este mundo, que tuvo abundancia de frutos.
The story of the foolish rich man, the man who loved his life so much, who had so many blessings in this life.
Pensó en guardar, en acumular, y no pensó en las demás personas.
He thought about saving up and about accumulating more for himself, and he didn't think about other people.
Y no es que sea malo guardar, porque debemos también guardar y prevenir de alguna manera el futuro.
And it's not that to save is a bad thing to do. We need to save. We need to plan ahead for the future.
Creo que lo malo está en el excesivo deseo de tener, de ambicionar.
But I believe that the bad comes in this excessive desire to have and to accumulate and to store up for oneself.
Y eso pasó con este nombre de la historia en Lucas 12.
And this is what happened in the story in Luke chapter 12.
Pero hay algo importante también. Después de que él pensó tener todo seguro, hay una voz que le dice.
But there's something important that happens here, because after he thought he had everything secure, there was a voice that said to him,
Necio, esta noche vienen a pedirte tu alma, y lo que has provisto, ¿de quién será?
You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?
Y luego la aplicación que hace Jesús que me impacta siempre.
And then the application that Jesus gives us that always, always has impact on me.
Así es, el que hace para sí tesoros y no es rico para con Dios.
This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for themselves something but is not rich towards God.
Es por eso que amar las cosas de este mundo significa perder la eternidad con Dios.
It's interesting to see that to love the things of this world is to lose eternity with God.
Pero perderlas y perder aún la vida por causa del Evangelio, por nuestra fe en Cristo Jesús, significa ganar la vida eterna.
But to lose the things of this world and to lose even our own life because of our faith in Jesus Christ is to acquire that eternal life with God.
Lo último que menciono es lo del versículo 28 en este texto.
And the last thing I'm going to mention is from verse 28 in this text in John.
Y es interesante la voz que confirma, lo he glorificado y lo glorificaré otra vez.
And it's interesting, this voice that says, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again.
Me llama la atención esta voz, esta declaración, porque en su bautismo también una voz había confirmado, este es mi hijo amado, a quien he elegido.
This calls my attention every time because it's an echo of the voice that we saw in Jesus' baptism, where a voice from the heavens said, this is my beloved son, whom I have chosen.
Así que Dios respalda y acompaña el ministerio de su hijo Jesús. Aún en el momento más difícil, que es la muerte.
Therefore, the voice of God, God himself, is empowering and backing up the ministry of Jesus, even in this time that is the most difficult time of Jesus' ministry, the time right before his death.
Y eso nos asegura la vida eterna cuando le obedecemos, cuando seguimos en sus pisadas.
And this assures us, then, of this eternal life, when we follow Jesus, when we walk in his footsteps.
Termino diciendo que Jesús muere físicamente.
And so I'm going to finish by saying Jesus dies physically.
Pero su muerte significó la victoria total sobre el pecado y la muerte misma.
But his death meant the total victory over death and the power that it had.
No amó su vida queriendo evitar la cruz.
He didn't love his life trying to avoid the cross.
Sino que optó voluntariamente el camino de la cruz para salvarnos.
But rather, he opted voluntarily the path of the cross in order to save all of us.
De igual manera, es necesario que odiemos la vida que se acomoda a los valores del mundo.
And so in the same way, it's important that we choose that same path and to question the values of this world.
Pero que amemos la vida en Cristo, aunque ello implique sufrimiento y hasta la misma muerte, porque solamente así aseguramos vivir eternamente.
That we don't love the powers of this world in order that we can love Jesus and follow Christ in this path so that we can then also have this eternal life.
Y traigo una vez más esas palabras de Jesús ahora en Mateo 10:39. El que haya su vida la perderá. Y el que pierda su vida por causa de mí, la hallará.
And so once more, I bring these words from Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, these words of Jesus. Whoever loves their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Que Dios nos bendiga, hermanos y hermanas, y nos ayude a seguir las pisadas de Jesús.
May God bless every one of you this morning, my brothers and sisters, and may God help us then to follow in these footsteps of Jesus Christ.
Muchas gracias.
Thanks. Thank you very much.